Hello, and welcome to the Journey Church Podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out the Journey Live this Sunday at one of our two Metro New York locations, including Manhattan and Queens. Visit journeynyc.com for service times and directions. Now let's join Manhattan Campus Pastor and Teaching Pastor Carrick Thomas as he teaches at the Journey.
Well, welcome to the Journey for the start of what I'm praying is going to be the greatest year in the history of our church. I'm so pumped about what God is going to do at the Journey in 2014, from mission trips to new ministry opportunities to exciting new teaching series to growth groups, and I'm glad you're here to be a part of it. And today we're kicking off a brand new year with a brand new teaching series called Step Up. Now, why Step Up? Well, I really believe that God wants 2014 to be the year that you step up spiritually. I believe that God doesn't want you to be content with where you are. I don't think God wants you to be content to be the same person in December of 2014 that you are today. God wants you, he wants all of us to step up in our faith. And so I want you to grab your message notes. They're inside of your program. They look like this. Go ahead and pull those out. I want to begin by looking at our memory verse for this week. And this is our key verse for our entire Step Up teaching series, Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. And let's read this verse out loud together with a lot of New Year enthusiasm. Are you ready? Beginning with I press on. Ready? Go. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You know, here Paul says, I am not content with where I am. I want to get better. I want to win the race of life. In other words, Paul says, look, I'm ready to step up with my faith. Now, not only that, but Paul, in this letter, he's writing the church of Philippi to challenge them to step up as well. In other words, he's like their coach. He's their advisor. He's pushing them. He's prodding them. He's saying, listen, it's time for you to step up in your faith, to strive to reach the goal. Have you ever noticed that at certain times in your life, you need those people that will get in your face and will challenge you to step up in whatever area it might be? And when they do that, at the time they do it, you're not a big fan of it. You're not very happy that they did it. But looking back on your life, when they got in your face and they challenged you and they pushed you and prodded you to step up in whatever that area was, you look back very gratefully because you see that your life is better because of them. I want you to think back in your life. Who are some of those people who have challenged you to step up in any area of your life? You know, I think back in my life. I think back when I was in high school and a football player. I remember one practice, my coach pulled me off to the sideline. He put his arm around me and he said, hey, Carrick, if we're going to be good this year, you've got to be better. You've got to step up. I remember when I was a freshman in college, my first history class, my first history paper I turned in. At the end of class, the professor called me over and he said, Carrick, I'm looking at your paper and I know you can do better work than this. You've got to step up. I remember when I was 31, I went to the doctor, my first doctor checkup in like a decade, and he looked at me and said, look, you've got high blood pressure, you've got high cholesterol. Carrick, if you don't do something about this, you're going to have a heart event in your 40s. You've got to step up when it comes to your health. I remember when Lori and I were expecting our first child, and I knew I needed to get our finances in better order. I went to a financial advisor, and we're going through it, and he looks at it and says, you know what, Carrick? Right now, if something happens to you, your family is going to be in trouble. You've got to step up when it comes to your finances. I remember Valentine's Day of last year when I took my wife a dozen roses, and she looked at the roses, she looked at me, she looked back at the roses, and she said, this is what you got me last year. Carrick, you've got to step up when it comes to getting me a gift. Look, there are important moments in life, moments like these when you need someone to challenge you and to push you to step up. But let me ask you this, when was the last time someone got in your face and really challenged you to step up your faith? They challenged you to grow spiritually. In the area that matters most, that impacts eternity, in your faith, in your spiritual life, that's what we want to do in this series. We want to push you, we want to challenge you to step up your faith as never before. Now, it's important that you have someone in your life who will challenge you to grow spiritually. We want to do that as a church, but that's only part of it. You also have to be willing to personally challenge yourself. You have to want to grow yourself. And you have to take ownership and responsibility for your own spiritual growth in 2014. And so let me ask you, when was the last time you sat down and set some spiritual goals for yourself? I want you to think about that, because I know a lot of you already have goals for how much weight you're going to lose, how much you're going to exercise. You've got health goals. You've got career goals you've set for the beginning of the year. You've got some relationship goals that you might have set. But how many of you have sat down and you've created some spiritual goals, some faith goals for yourself for 2014? Look, I've never met a Christian who wanted to be mediocre. But unfortunately, I've met a lot of mediocre Christians. And the reason is we get stuck. We get in a rut. We get in a comfort zone. And we just start going through life. And we don't push ourselves to grow in this area. And if that's you, I want this series to be a challenge to you to wake up and step up spiritually and to set some faith goals for 2014. Look, stepping up in your faith this year, it's going to look a little bit different for everyone in here. For you, you may set some faith goals in a certain area, and you may have to focus on that. The person next to you may set a different faith goal, and that's okay, because we're all in different places spiritually. So I want you to think about yourself today and throughout this series. And what would it mean for you to step up your faith to the next level in 2014? Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to challenge you to make some spiritual commitments and to stay consistent with those commitments so that you can grow throughout the year. And listen, I want this series to challenge you. I want you to be a little bit uncomfortable because I don't want you to be the same person in December that you are today in January. I want you to grow. I want you to look and act more like Jesus than ever before. And see, that's ultimately God's goal for your spiritual growth and for your life. Look at our next verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. It says, those who say they live in God should live their lives as who? As Jesus did. That's our goal. Now stay here for a moment. Don't flip. Before we turn the page, before we look at how we can step up with God in 2014, maybe you're frustrated right now. I mean, maybe you're frustrated because you started off last year with the intention of stepping up spiritually and maybe in a lot of different areas of your life, but it didn't happen. I mean, maybe you set some New Year's resolutions in 2013, but you failed miserably at those. And you look back and you think, I failed last year. And you're afraid that this year is going to end up just like last year did. But I want you to understand, that's not God's plan. It's not his intention for your life. God has already let go of your past failures, of your past mistakes. And he wants you to let go of those past failures and look forward and not backward, not looking backward at 2013, but looking forward at what he has for you in 2014. It's time for you to let go and look forward. So open your notes to the inside. And as you do, let's forget last year's failures and let's focus on 2014's promise and on what God can do in your life this year. And we're going to look at four actions that will allow us to step up for God in 2014. Here's number one. I want you to write this down. Action number one, admit my dependence on God. That's where it starts. Admit my dependence on God. In other words, admit, I can't do this by myself. You can't reach all those great goals you set for your life by yourself. So the first step is just to admit it. Admit that you're dependent on God. Say, God, I need you. Like the song we just sang, say, God, I need you. In fact, let's say it out loud right now. God, I need you. Ready, go. God, I need you. And in case the person next to you didn't say that, I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, you need God. Go ahead and say that right now. Remind them that they need God. Look, the first barrier to stepping up with God in 2014 is your pride. It's thinking that you can do it all by yourself, that you don't need God. And listen, admitting our dependence on God, it's easy to say, but it's something that we struggle with. It's very hard to do because here in America, we're self-reliant. I mean, the American dream, after all, is to work from rags to riches through your own industriousness, to do it all yourself, to not be dependent on anyone else. Now, this is ingrained in us, and it's reinforced from an early age. Just try harder. You don't need anyone else. You can do it yourself. In fact, I want you to think about those motivational posters. You know what I'm talking about? When you go into someone's office or to someone's classroom, they have these, you know, cute little animals with these motivational sayings on there. And what do they say? You know, they tell you that you can do it. You can overcome any obstacle. You're the master of your own destiny. In fact, I've got some of the more popular motivational posters I want to share with you. And then conversely, the poster I feel like most of the time. For instance, how many of you have seen this poster? It's the hang in there cat. You know, it's cute, right? Hang in there. You know, don't give up. You can do it. But most of the time, I don't feel like the hang in there cat. I feel like this cat, the give up cat, and where it says at some point, hanging in there just makes you look like a bigger loser. I don't know if you've ever felt that way, but I have as well. How about this one? Have you ever seen this one before? The never give up mouse. You know, he's determined that the cheese is on the trap, but he's got the helmet on there. He's going to do it. He's going to overcome with determination. But I often feel like this one instead. where it says obstacles. Some things just can't be overcome by determination and a positive attitude, like a volcanic eruption. I don't know. I felt like that before. How about this next one? You've probably seen this one, another cute kitty cat. They all have cats in them for some reason. But this cat, you can do it. You know, no obstacle is too big. You can do it by yourself. But then I often feel like this picture instead. You better believe in yourself because the rest of us think you're an idiot. I felt like that before as well. And then here's a motto I've seen hanging on the wall before. And this is one we often buy into. You are the author of your own life. I mean, in other words, you can decide what your future is. That's motivating to know that I'm in control of my life. But then I'm also reminded of this one as well that says motivation. If a pretty poster and a cute saying are all you need to motivate you, you probably have a very easy job, the kind robots will be doing soon. So I know those are motivating and demotivating. Now listen, I actually like the motivational posters. I like the idea of taking responsibility for your life and your future and working hard to overcome obstacles. That's godly, that's biblical. But the problem comes in when we think we're not dependent on anyone else, when we think we can do it all by ourselves. Here's the thing. You know, deep in your heart, you know you're not in control. You know that, right? I mean, there's some things that in life that are just out of your control. You know, sometimes you set a goal for yourself, and no matter how hard you work, you don't reach that goal. Or maybe you're dealing with an addiction. You've been trying to overcome that addiction by yourself for so long, but no matter how much you do, you can't do it by yourself, and you fail big time. You know, sometimes you want that promotion, but there's just someone at work who is better and smarter than you are, and they get the promotion no matter how hard you try. And sometimes there's an illness that comes into your life unexpectedly, and there's nothing that you can do about it. And you're reminded at those times that you are not in control. You know, the truth is, you weren't created to be in control. You're not God. You were created to need God. God created you with this need where you would need him, whether you like it or not. Look at what the Bible says about being in control of your own life. You know, that motto that says you're the master of your own destiny. Look what the Bible says about that. Joshua chapter 4, verse 15. It says, look here, you people who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. In other words, you know, I'm in control. I'm making my plans. I'm going to do my thing. He says, look, if you say that, look at how it continues. How do you know what will happen tomorrow? For your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. In other words, you are not in control. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. That's a bit of an eye-opener, isn't it? If the Lord wants me to, I will live and do this or that. I'm not in control, but God is in control. You know, admitting your dependence on God starts with admitting this very fact, that you cannot control your future. You cannot control 2014, and every step you take depends on God. Now, this is a humbling thing to admit, especially for those of us who've been trained to act like we have everything under control, that we're in charge. But there's a great blessing in admitting your dependence on God, and it's this. It's incredibly liberating. You no longer have to feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. You no longer have to pretend that you have it all together, that you're in control. You no longer have to pretend to be God. And then look at God's promise when you admit your dependence on him. James chapter 4, verse 10. It says, when you bow down before the Lord and admit your dependence on him, read this last line out loud with me, beginning with he. Ready? Go. He will lift you up and give you honor. When you admit your dependence on God, he promises he's going to lift you up. He's going to give you honor. He promises to bless you. Now maybe you're here today and you're trying to control everything in your life. You've been trying to do it all and plan it all yourself. I can guarantee you, if that's you, you're exhausted right now, aren't you? You're discouraged. Maybe there are things that you've tried to do in the past, goals you've set, spiritual goals, personal goals, and you failed. But the reason you failed is you tried to do it in your own power. The secret is, if you will rely on God, if you will admit your dependence on him, then his unlimited power becomes available to you. And so today, why don't you admit your dependence on God, that you need him, that you need his power? Hosea chapter 12, verse 6 says this. So now come back to your God. Act on the principles of love and justice. And always, I want you to underline this last phrase, always live in confident dependence on your God. And so today, why don't you admit your dependence on God? Admit that you need him. Just in your heart and your mind right now, just say, God, I'm dependent on you. That's the first action to making this year better than last. Admit your dependence on God and rely on his power. And then flip your notes over. The second action to stepping up with God in 2014 is this. It's confess my sins to God. Confess my sins to God. You see, the second barrier to stepping up and taking your life to the next level, it might be the sin that's in your life, that's just hanging on, that you're taking with you from 2013 into 2014. You see, sin is a dangerous thing. Sin is something that every one of us deals with. None of us is perfect. And sin is anything that is present in your life that's less than God's best for your life. It's anything that's less than God's best. Sin is where God says, look, this is my best for your life. And you say, no, thank you, God. Look, I'm in control. I'm going to be God in my own life. I think this is better, and I go my own way. I turn my back on God. I go my own way. And the Bible says that's sin. And what sin does is it builds up a wall between us and God so we don't experience his presence, his power, and in our life right now. And we miss that in our life. We don't live life at the highest level. It's sort of like this. It's sort of like we're walking into 2014, but as we're walking into 2014, we're carrying this big bag, this baggage into us, and it's dragging us down. It's sin from the past, and it's so heavy that sometimes we have to backing into 2014, looking back at past mistakes instead of looking forward to the promise that God has for us. And that's not what God wants for us. And maybe for you, it's an ongoing sin. Maybe it's something that you've been struggling with for a while, and you know God wants you to do something with. Or maybe for you, it's a one-time sin. And maybe God's already forgiven you, but you haven't forgiven yourself. And you're just regretting that one mistake you made. Whatever it is, you're just dragging it with you into the new year. But here's the good news. God promises that if you've given your life to Jesus, and if you confess your sin to him, he will not only forgive you of that sin, he will also give you the power to break free from that sin. You see, confessing your sins to God simply means admitting to God that you've messed up and telling God that you're sorry for what you've done and asking for his forgiveness. And when you do that, God will take that baggage you've been carrying with you, he will take it off of you, and he will forgive you completely. You see, once you've received Jesus as your Savior, no matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think it is, God will forgive you if you ask. I love 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from most wrongs. Wait, it doesn't say that, does it? He says, forgive us from what? Every wrong. Underline that word, every. I'm glad it doesn't say most wrongs. Aren't you glad it doesn't say forgive you of a few wrongs, up to 10 or, you know, whatever. God promises to cleanse you from every wrong that's in your life. Now, I know that there's some of you here, you have a hard time believing this. Some of you came here today and you are convinced. You have a hard time coming to church because you're convinced God is mad at you. You know you've lived your life apart from God, and you're convinced God is mad at you, that he's disappointed in you, and that he can't forgive you. I want you to understand. I want you to hear me when I say this. God is not mad at you. God loves you. God is for you. He's on your team. He is faithful. And if you will ask for his forgiveness, he will give it to you freely. The problem is, you need to forgive yourself. Stop dragging that weight of sin from 2013 into 2014 because you don't have to. If you will ask for God's forgiveness, he will forgive you completely. Now listen, when God forgives, he doesn't hang on to it. He doesn't remember it. He doesn't hang it over your head. He doesn't hold it against you in the future. No, God forgives you. He gives you a clean slate. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 says it this way. It says, you were what? You were dead because of your sins. Underline the word dead and the word sins. Draw a line from sins to dead. Your sins cause death, that separation from God. That's why it's such a big deal. But look at how the passage continues. And because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then he says, then God made you what? Alive. Underline the word alive with who? Christ. Draw a line from Christ to alive. You were dead because of your sin, but when you accept Jesus Christ into your life and he forgives you of your sin, you come alive. You were reborn spiritually. You're free from that sin. Then it says, he forgave all our sins. Look, God wants to give you a clean slate today. He wants to give you a new beginning, a fresh start. It can be a different year. Listen, if you're carrying around the burden of sin right now, don't leave here today until you've taken time to confess your sins. Now, if you're already a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian, I want you just to take time today to pray something like this. Just pray it silently in your heart to God. Say simply, God, I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. And be specific. Say, God, I'm sorry for when I did this. I'm sorry for this ongoing sin. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Help me to overcome this sin. Amen. And you don't have to do anything else. Jesus died on the cross so that those sins could be forgiven. If you prayed it in a minute, God has already forgiven you. And if you're here and you're not yet a follower of Jesus, you've never prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to be the leader of your life, then let that be your first prayer of 2014. Just say a prayer in your heart, something like this. Say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross so my sins could be forgiven and wiped away, so that I can have a relationship with God, so I can have a home in heaven, so that I can live my life looking forward instead of looking backwards at my mistakes. Jesus, come into my life and forgive me. Be the leader and the Lord of my life. I want to follow you. Amen. Pray that prayer in your heart. If you pray that prayer, God will answer it. He'll come into your life. He'll lead your life, and he will also forgive you of all your sins. Grab your connection card we were talking about earlier. You know, if you need to make that decision to follow Jesus for the first time, to confess your sins for the first time, on the right-hand side on the back of your connection card, it says, send me information about becoming a follower of Jesus. That's what that means. If you're going to take that step today, let us know. We want to be praying for you as you do that. But pray, ask God to forgive you of your sins, confess my sins. And then here's the third action step to step up with God in 2014. Number three, take my fears before God. Take my fears before God. Now, fear may be the greatest barrier to stepping up in your faith. You see, fear paralyzes. Fear causes doubt and uncertainty. Fear takes your focus off of God. And when you're afraid, you don't focus on God, but you focus on the fear. You focus on the difficulty. You focus on the hurdle that's in front of you, and you become more and more afraid. And when you think about these barriers to stepping up in your faith this year that we're already talking about, when you think about pride, not being able to depend on God, when you think about sin that holds you back, fear can sometimes be the most paralyzing. And so heading into 2014, let me ask you, what is your greatest fear? What is it that you're worrying about more than anything else? I mean, is there a fear that's keeping you up at night, that's causing you anxiety, and it keeps you from moving forward? You know, for some of you, I know it's a fear of failure. You're afraid of failing, and so you won't take that risk. You won't. God is asking you to take a step, maybe go for a promotion, change jobs, change careers, do something, serve in a way, and you're afraid of failure, and so your fear has kept you from moving forward. Or for some of you, it might be a fear of rejection. You know, you've wanted to ask that girl out for a long time, but you're afraid of being rejected. Or maybe you have this fear of being alone. Maybe you have a fear of losing something, a fear of losing your marriage, of money, of an apartment. So all of the decisions you make in your life are based around that fear. Maybe it's a health issue and you're afraid of that. What is your greatest fear heading into 2014? Just in the margin of your notes, no one is going to see it. Would you write that down? I want you to be honest with yourself. What is that fear? You know what it is. It's something that you were thinking about when you walked in today. What is your greatest fear? Write it down. Now, understand, it's natural to feel fear. We all do, and that's okay. But you can't let fear keep you from moving forward. You can't let it paralyze you. And here's why. Fear and faith are incompatible. They can't exist in the same place at the same time. You see, fear is a warning sign. It's a red flashing light that you don't have enough faith in God in a certain area of your life. That's what fear is. It's a warning sign that you're lacking faith. So my fear keeps me from experiencing God's best for my life. But the Bible says that if I will take my fear, the thing that I'm afraid of, and I will give it to God, I will turn that fear over to God, that he will grow my faith so much that my faith overwhelms my fear. You see, there's no room for fear in my life because my faith just keeps pushing it out. And so how do I do that? How do I give my fears and my worries to God? Well, the Bible says the answer is prayer. Look at our next passage, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about what? Pray about everything. So we should confess every sin. God says he's going to forgive every sin, but we should also pray about every fear that we have. Have you prayed about that fear that you have? It says here, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. If you do this, you will experience God's what? peace. Underline that word peace. That's a great exchange, isn't it? Hey, God, here's my fear, and Carrick, here's my peace. I'll take that. That's a great exchange, isn't it? I mean, what if you could do that? What if you could pray and say, God, you take the fear and worry and give me your peace. And what kind of peace is it? He says, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. God wants you to give your worries and your fears to him in prayer, and he will give you his peace. That's a great deal. And he's not asking for anything in return. Look, I know some of you have learned to live with your fears. You're really great at it. You're great at hiding your fears, and you're good at coping with them. And some of you have been doing it for years. You survive. You live with your fears. And you think it's natural to live that way. Listen, I want you to decide today that living with your fear for another day, much less the rest of your life, is not an option. I want you to decide that you don't want to live in fear anymore. Decide that you're going to leave here today not afraid. Give your fears to God. Give it to him in prayer. Look, you can do one of two things with fear. One of two things. You can either live with it or you can give it to God. There's nothing else you can do with it. You can either live with your fear or you can give it to God. And if you're ready to give it to God, do that right now. Trust God and then do what he tells you to do. You know, if you do the thing you fear, the death of that fear is certain. So step up. Maybe you're afraid of being alone. Step up and break off the relationship you're in only because you're afraid of being alone. That's not a reason to be in a relationship. Step up and pursue that dream that God has given you. Apply for the job you aren't applying for only because you're afraid of failing. Step up and ask your girlfriend to marry you. You know she's the one, but you're afraid of commitment. Step up and get baptized and become a member of a church. You know, so what if someone sees you do that? You're not a religious freak just because you're getting baptized or you're becoming a member. It just means that you care more about what God thinks than about what other people think. And look, if you aren't ready to step up with God right now because of a fear, it's probably because you're asking the wrong question. You see, the wrong question is this: how big is my fear? That's the wrong question because you look at the fear and it's pretty big. The right question is, how big is my God? You see, don't look at your fear and say, my fear is much bigger than I am. Yeah, it is. Your fear is bigger than you are. But instead, look at God and say, but my God is much bigger than my fear. Isaiah 41:10 says this: don't be afraid. Remember that. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So, four actions to step up with God in 2014. Let's review. Number one, admit my dependence on God. Overcome pride. I know that I'm dependent on God. Number two, confess my sins to God. Don't let my sins keep me looking backwards instead of forwards. Number three, take my fears before God. I'm not going to live with fear anymore. I'm going to give my fears to God. And then flip your notes over to the back. Here's the final action step, final action to step up with God in 2014. Number four, set spiritual goals for God. Set some spiritual goals for God. Now, this is such an important exercise to do, but only after you've removed those first three barriers of faith, of pride, of sin, and fear. Once you've dealt with the first three steps, you're ready to set some faith goals. Now, you think this would be easy because we're a goal-setting society. We're big on New Year's resolutions. And in fact, I know a lot of you have already set New Year's resolutions for your health and for your finances and for your careers and your relationships. We set goals for everything, well, everything except our spiritual life. We set goals for everything except for the most important things. I mean, when was the last time you sat down and laid out some spiritual goals for your life? You know, our key verse for this series is Philippians 3:14. I want to look at that verse again, but also with the verse that comes right before it. Look at what it says. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be." Do you ever feel that way? I'm not all I should be. I'm not all that I could be. If you feel that way, that's okay. We're never going to get there completely in this life. That's natural to feel that way. But look at what Paul says. He says, "But I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past, forgetting 2013, and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us up to heaven." You see, Paul set spiritual goals for his life, and you need to set some goals for your life too. And see, goals are statements of faith. They're saying, God, this is what I believe you want for my life. This is what I believe is going to be your best, and I'm going to aim for it. And if you look in your notes, I gave you some space to write down some goals underneath my faith goals for 2014. I gave you some space, and I want you to think about this. What one thing, if you were able to hit this goal in your life in 2014, would make the biggest difference in your life and would make the biggest difference in your relationship with God? I want you to think about that. What one goal, if you set and were able to meet, would make the biggest difference in your spiritual life, in your relationship with God? And I want you to write that down. And maybe it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is. I want you to begin to write down some of those goals. Now, sometimes we're afraid to write down our goals because we're afraid of failing. And the minute I write it down, I've got to hold myself accountable. I'd rather just not set goals and just see how it goes. But listen, I don't want you to focus on the failing part. Instead, I want you to imagine who you would become if you made your goals. In pursuing those spiritual goals, imagine how much you would grow. Imagine the person you could become. You see, the most important part of setting goals is not reaching the goals themselves. Reaching the goals isn't the most important thing. The most important thing is who you have to become in the pursuit of those goals. How God is going to change you as you pursue those goals you set. And so look down. What are some goals that God wants you to set? Maybe making the decision to say yes to Jesus for the first time. Becoming a Christian. If that's you, say, I need to surrender to Jesus. Write that down. Maybe it's taking a step to go public and be baptized. You're a follower of Jesus, you've never been baptized. That's an important spiritual step. Write that down. Maybe it's becoming a member of the church. Making that commitment to the church and to growth. Write down, becoming a member. Maybe it's getting serious about reading the Bible this year and getting on a Bible reading plan. Say, I got to spend some time in prayer every day and reading the Bible. Write that down. Say, I'm going to be serious about this going forward. Maybe it's getting serious about finding a place to serve in the church. You've been standing on the sidelines just living for yourself, and God wants you to use your gifts to make a difference in the church and in the world. Maybe it's surrounding yourself with some godly friends this year. Getting in a growth group. We begin signups for our spring growth groups next week. Get in a group. Bring those people into your life. Maybe it's honoring God with your finances. Giving him first place in your life. Beginning to tithe. Giving to the special offering. Maybe there's a sin in your life. And you say every year, you're going to get rid of that sin. You're going to overcome that sin. And here it is, January 5, 2014. And it's still in your life. Is it a goal for you to get rid of it? Write that down. Maybe it's being the parent or husband or wife that God wants you to be. Maybe it's repairing a broken relationship. I don't know what it is, but take a moment. No one's looking at these. I want you to write some of these down in your notes. Now, let me give you, as you're thinking about it and you're writing down what your goals are, let me give you three helpful suggestions as you set these goals for yourself. Three suggestions that will help you succeed as you pursue these faith goals in your life. Number one, don't make it a drudgery. Don't feel like, oh, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna read my Bible every day. Now, make a game out of it. I mean, make it fun. Make it something to say, okay, if I read my Bible Monday through Friday every morning, you know what? I'm gonna go and get a milkshake for myself. Now, if one of your goals is to lose 5 pounds, that could be a self-defeating goal. But whatever it is, reward yourself along the way. Now, don't wait to the end of the year. If I read the Bible every day, I'm going to give myself something on December 31st. Every week, just make it a game. Make it fun. Encourage yourself. Secondly, if you fail, don't beat yourself up. And listen, you are going to fail because you're setting serious faith goals that are going to stretch you. Now, see, if you're serious about this, if you're serious about stepping up for God in 2014, it's not going to go perfectly. Because you're really going to challenge yourself. There'll be times when you trip and you fall. Don't beat yourself up. Give yourself some grace. You know, see every failure as a learning experience. If you fail and you trip and you fall, pick yourself up and tell yourself, well, I see what I shouldn't do next time. I see what doesn't work. So now I can move on to what does work. And then thirdly, tell someone your goals. Tell someone you trust your goals. Have someone who will be praying with you about it. You see, you're far more likely to make your goals once you tell someone. You see, when you set a goal for yourself and then you keep it to yourself, it's easy just to forget about it. You've got no one there that's going to be watching you. But tell someone about it. Write it down. Ask them to help you out. In fact, grab your connection card again. On the back of your connection card, look at that second next step. It says, my next step today is to begin living out the following faith goal immediately. Would you share that with us? We're not going to publish them or anything, but our pastors And staff, we would love to be praying for you as you pursue this faith goal. Just write it down. Let us be praying for you. Let us help hold you accountable. And then share it with someone that you trust. You know, at the beginning of the message today, I had you think of when someone had challenged you to step up in a specific area of your life, whether a parent, a teacher, a coach. And even though they pushed you out of your comfort zone, even though they challenged you, looking back, you're glad they did it because they did it, you're a better person. I remember once when I was in college, I was lost. I didn't know what my career should be, what my major should be. I'd started pre-law. I knew that wasn't what I wanted to be. I decided finally, okay, God, I want to do what you want me to do. So I went to a pastor, and I said, look, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what direction to go in. God, I'm completely lost. And I told this pastor that, and I said, what do you think I should do? And I remember he said, Carrick, if you really want to do what God wants you to do, you have to be willing to lay aside all of these plans that you set for yourself, and you have to be willing to listen to God. He said, here's some things I want you to do. And he told me, hey, you need to get in a Bible study. I hadn't been in a Bible study since I was in college. He said, get in a Bible study and surround yourself with other people. Then he said, you need to start serving in your church, and you need to start serving on your campus. You need to put yourself in a place where God can use you. And he gave me some other ideas. He pushed me out of my comfort zone, and he challenged me to step up in my faith. And I'm eternally grateful he did. I wouldn't be here today had he not challenged me. Look, today and during this series, let us challenge you to step up in your faith and become a more fully developing follower of Jesus. Allow us to push you out of your comfort zone. Set some big spiritual goals for yourself this year. You see, this last verse is my ultimate goal and my prayer for you this year. And I hope that you will make this verse your goal and your prayer as well. Let's read it out loud together. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Are you ready? Go. Grow in spiritual strength and become better acquainted with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you bow your heads with me right now? Let's pray together. Just bow your head, close your eyes. Maybe you need to do some business with God. Maybe you need to talk to God just in your heart and your mind. You need to talk to him. That's what prayer is. You know, for some of you, maybe this prayer is simply saying, God, I need you. God, I'm dependent on you. Maybe you've been doing everything yourself and you feel like you're about to collapse. If that's you, just right now, just say, God, I need you. I'm dependent on you. Maybe that needs to be your prayer. For some of you, maybe there's a sin or sins that you're right now dragging with you into 2014. You don't have to do that. Take a moment right now. Confess that sin to God. Whether it's an ongoing sin, he will forgive you of your sin, and he wants to give you the power and the people in your life to overcome that sin. Just pray. He will do that, and he will wipe the slate clean. Maybe it's a fear. Maybe there's a fear that's paralyzing you. Would you just pray right now and give that fear to God? He says, if you will pray about everything, I will take that fear, and I will give you my peace. It's a great exchange. Do that right now. Maybe there's a faith goal that you've set. Would you just pray and set that before God and say, God, I'm going to let you know this goal. I'm going to let someone else know this goal. I may struggle. I may trip and fall, but I'm not going to give up because it's not just reaching the goal. It's who you're going to make me, the woman of God, the man of God you're going to turn me into in pursuit of this goal. So I'm going to follow you. Would you pray? And then, listen, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ, pray that prayer that we prayed earlier. Just right now, say, God, I give you my life. God, we thank you for the opportunity of a new year, of a fresh slate. God, may this be the greatest year, not just in the history of our church, but may this be the greatest year spiritually of all of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.